It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Steps back, three. Yes, sir.
Get a shot up. This is for the win.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to a beautiful Thursday edition of Overtime. It's Minnesota Vikings Thursday. 1 hour early, 1 hour off the air early, making way for those hot Minnesota Twins coming up at noon, looking to close out the rival Cleveland Guardians via sweep. And if they do that, they would be tied for second place in the AL Central and very close to the top spot in the AL Central. That's right, the Twins have risen from the ashes. Many, many, many people and fans of Minnesota buried this team before the season got started. Not so fast, my friend. Minnesota cooking with gas right now. Another win yesterday boost them up to 46-47. We dive into some Twins talk as we navigate our way through this early edition of Overtime on a Thursday. Hour two going to be reserved for some Vikings talk today with Dustin Baker. He hops in the studio seat talking about what do fans want to happen at quarterback this year for Minnesota. Do they want Kyler Murray? Do they want the best chance to win? Many people saying that's Kyler Murray. Many people saying, I don't care what quarterback it is, what it looks like. Give me the W's and as many as we can handle this season in Minnesota. What do fans want to have happen at quarterback? Is it more advantageous for J.J. McCarthy to win the job because he's on a cheaper long-term, more long-term deal than Kyler Murray, or Kyler Murray win the job and get a big payday to stick around next year? He's absurdly cheap for Minnesota, cheaper than McCarthy, I believe. I need to look that up. Very similar value in terms of a contract this season alone between the two. But what do fans really want to have happen at quarterback? And is it truly all about winning? Who gives you the best chance to win? Who can stack the most? Or should it be about more than just this season? And do you roll J.J. McCarthy out there? We'll dive into that debate and so much more coming up in hour number two. 5 Minnesota Vikings primed to make a leap this season. We shared with you yesterday that new coming cornerback, not a rookie, but via free agency, James Pierre is the name to know for the Minnesota Vikings. ESPN.com has pegged Pierre as the Minnesota Vikings player primed for a breakout. I'll believe it when I see it. For the Minnesota Vikings, they love, all caps love, to rotate veteran scrap heap free agent cornerbacks under Brian Flores, especially the not top two positions at corner on the roster. Those belong, of course, to Byron Murphy and Isaiah Rogers. They've got other guys out there that they kind of churn the bottom of the roster with. James Pierre coming in as a free agent from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Could he have a big year? Maybe. ESPN.com likes to prognosticate that that will happen. We'll dive into the debate. What other 5 Minnesota Vikings could be primed to make a major leap this year? That's in hour two. Before then, we'll get you the latest and greatest from college football. More troubling news emerging out of the Brendan Sorsby situation in regards to a former school and a new investigation. Also, the latest from the NFL, whip around coverage, and a beefy edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly before we're done in hour number one. Let's get to the scorecard here in Major League Baseball. The Chicago Cubs are heating up. They took game 2 of the series against Baltimore yesterday on the road, 9-7. Their new record is 52-40. And recently, the Cubbies were a 500 ball club. So they have done a nice job lately getting back off the schneid, if you will. 52-40, the new record for the Cubbies. Detroit stacking some wins. A 6-1 win over the A's yesterday in Detroit boost their record to 42-50. Kansas City lost to the Mets 6-2. Boston beat the White Sox in Chicago 5-0. So Chicago, division leading. Chicago White Sox are 47-44. The Guardians lost to the Minnesota Twins yesterday at Target Field 6-5. Here's how the game ended in a very close one.
Another 3-2. There goes the runner, and the pitch is hit in the air left center field. Keyshaw racing after it. He's in front of the bullpen, and he makes the catch as he kisses off the barricade with out number three clutched in that glove. Luke Keyshaw hauls in out number three. We go to the bottom of the ninth.
There you go, bottom of the ninth, Minnesota finding a way, 6-5 victory yesterday, 46-47 is their record, which means after yesterday's final, they trail Cleveland by a game, they trail Chicago by two games, and this division absolutely wide open. It's a three-horse race for now, wouldn't put it against the other two teams from finding a way back into the race and conversation as well. Here's Twins manager Derek Shelton on being within reach of the top spot in the Central at this stage.
Yeah, I think with this group, the carrot is they play every day. I mean, you guys are around them every day. And that's not to be, you know, a cliche, but they separate so well. Whether it's coming off the Dodgers where we got swept and we played well and didn't win, they moved on to the next series against Colorado and played. The one thing I really appreciate about this group is they go day to day. And right now, there's a lot of time left. But the fact that we're playing good baseball, I think, is really important.
Very important. Very impressive for Minnesota with that win, 6-5. The new record is 46-47. Other final, Milwaukee lost to St. Louis in St. Louis yesterday, 5-1. And the Rockies playing pretty tough, but falling again to the Dodgers, 4-3. That final in the nightcap. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Royals and Mets get going at 12:10. Also see the Cubs take on the Orioles at 12:35. Guardians battle the Twins. Noon pregame coverage. 12:40 start time for the third game of the series. Twins going for a sweep. Red Sox and White Sox 1:10. A's at the Tigers. Brewers at Cardinals. Rockies at Giants. The rest of the way, the schedule in Major League Baseball. In the WNBA, the Indiana Fever got Caitlin Clark back last night on the floor. Not her best. 9 points on 4 of 12 shooting. Fever lose in LA 106-92. Indiana with a grudge match coming the way tonight against Phoenix. Caitlin Clark will be resting that game. Now, Minnesota and Connecticut collided last night. Lynx were a heavy favorite in the contest. They win the game 86-80, move to 16-6, but it's all about the coach. Cheryl Reeve became the all-time winningest regular season coach in the WNBA's history last night.
I just wanted to win the game. It wasn't, for me, I just don't think this way. I appreciate how much it meant to the players to celebrate the moment. You know, it's not lost on me how important, you know, so many players in that locker room, you know, on the staff and, you know, just talking with Chuck, our trainer, so many people that have been on this journey with me for so long, you know, and even the new ones, like I told them, I mean, just to share it with them, it was incredibly meaningful. You know, it's a moment in time, you know, it's one of those things, but to do it with people that you really, really care about, you know, will give anything, you know, for the team to be successful. I have a great appreciation for all of them.
And that's Lynx head coach Cheryl Reeve, 86-80 winners last night. They are now 16-6. Tonight in the WNBA, Fever and the Mercury collide in Phoenix at 9 o'clock on Prime Video. Aces and Fire getting going from Portland, 9 o'clock as well. In the NBA, offseason remaining in full swing, it's time to say whatever wacky thing is in your brain about the upcoming offseason, the offseason ahead, and where we go next season. How about Nikola Jokic? Could the Nuggets part ways with their star? Here's Evan Cohen.
Are we sure the Denver Nuggets don't get to a point where they say, if he's not going to sign this extension and he's going to keep pushing it back and we are not building the proper roster around him, do we do the unheard of? Do we ever consider striking first? Has at any point the Denver Nuggets organization sat there and said, wait a minute, we're waiting for him. What are we doing here? We haven't built a championship team around him since the championship, obviously. He's amazing. He's an MVP every single year. They don't seem overly willing to go into the tax. I'm just throwing it out there. Is there any chance they may sell high and they may get the single greatest return in the history of this sport in a hypothetical Jokic trade?
There you go, Evan Cohen prognosticating. Why don't we go first instead of letting Jokic play out the string with us? Let's play out the string with him. I don't buy that. I think Denver has a lot of optionality moving forward, still very young into his career, very young into the marriage and the iterations that we talk about with Giannis, which, of course, been in the league quite a bit longer than Nikola Jokic. They tried this and they tried that, paired it with this player and that player, veteran, youngsters, etc. I don't think Denver is that far into that. They're working through a second-year head coach now, and David Edelman. We'll see exactly what Denver does. Chris Canty says you can't make a Jokic trade without one particular piece in place.
You can't trade a player like Jokic. If he leaves, he leaves. You can't trade him, especially when he says that he wants to stay in Denver. And there is a reason, a plausible explanation as to why he's waiting to sign his contract. So he's eligible for 5 years, $359 million. As uncomfortable as it may be, as puckered as Josh Kroenke in ownership may be throughout the course of the next calendar year, they're going to have to grit their teeth and they have to go through this with the assurance only of Jokic's word. That is it. Because you can't trade a player like Nikola Jokic when he doesn't ask to be traded. Just can't do it.
There you go. Can't do it. No way. Can't happen. Here's Canty talking about Nikola Jokic's potential trade there. Can't happen, especially without Jokic saying, I would like to explore other opportunities, or I would never say never. Something of that nature. Denver not going to move Nikola Jokic anytime soon. But again, him deferring that money might just send a signal of, I like it here quite a bit, but please, let's improve things around here, improve the roster, figure it out. We'll see exactly what's ahead in the future for the Denver Nuggets and their star, Nikola Jokic. Over to the National Football League. We're in July, which means it's time to start ranking up positions, talking about quarterback rankings, etc. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes, just how underappreciated is he? Here is Jason McCourty on that topic lately as we rank up quarterbacks in the weeks ahead.
Sometimes we look at him and we say, well, yeah, the play hasn't been as good or different things, and you underappreciate what he brings to the game, the clutch mentality and all of those different things. But that comes along with the league. Like, at one point, he was at the very top. They were winning every single game. They were in the Super Bowl every single year. And last year, you really saw a dip in that for whatever reason you can come up with, but the quarterback's going to get the blame.
There you go. Quarterback will get the blame. Patrick Mahomes, top quarterback in the league, top two, top three, top five. Here's Evan Cohen.
If you believe that Patrick Mahomes may be the second greatest quarterback ever, it is definitively disrespectful. To drop Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady beyond two at any point during their non-rookie part of their career is extremely disrespectful.
Well, you know what? It's not that disrespectful because they're not the creme de la creme throughout the entirety of their career. You know, Brady, in the swan song of his career, won the Super Bowl in 2020 with the Bucks. 2 years after that was pretty darn good. Was he the best quarterback in the league? Was he elite at that stage? I would say no, not elite, elite. And right now, Patrick Mahomes is still really darn good. If you're asking me to tell you where he ranks, I would say two or three. That's it right now. You can fire up the debate cannons all you want. Josh Allen is a better quarterback right now than Patrick Mahomes is. And yes, I know, Bert, he hasn't won the big game. He hasn't had his big moments. I understand that. Do you have eyeballs? Do you have ears? Do you watch football? Because Josh Allen's a better quarterback today than Patrick Mahomes. Now, we can talk about who's number two if it's not Patrick Mahomes. The other obvious guys in that conversation, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow is in that conversation. I personally will still give the credo to Mahomes and put him at number two right now. Now, the stats have not been amazing for a few years. His last really dominant year, 2022, 41 touchdowns, 5,300 yards, just 12 interceptions. Since that time, back-to-back-to-back seasons, Super Bowl win, Super Bowl appearance, and a 6-8 injury-shortened campaign just last year. 27 touchdown passes in 2023. 26 touchdown passes in 16 games in 2024. And 22 touchdown passes in 2025 in 14 games. And double-digit interceptions along the way. And yes, we're talking modern quarterbacks. Double-digit interceptions. Brett Favre used to throw 20 of those. And we always told, we're told that he was the best in the league. Times are a-changing. Efficiency matters. Taking care of the football is a big part of the game. You know, stats are stats, but the other stat that matters a ton for quarterbacks is what stats aren't in your stat sheet. Are you not fumbling the ball 5, 6, 7, 8 times a year, turning it over? Are you not throwing 12, 14, 16, 18 picks? That's a big deal. So Patrick Mahomes, for me right now, is two or three. There's a couple people in that conversation, but Josh Allen, you can yell at me all you want, definitively better than Mahomes right now in every statistical measure. Does that mean that Allen even holds a candle to the blowtorch of Mahomes' career? No, he doesn't. Not yet, not now, maybe not ever. Likely, not ever. Going to be hard to stack up the Super Bowl wins the way that Mahomes has if you're Josh Allen at this stage of the career. That's a matter of fact at this stage. But Mahomes, to me, the resume is so much better. The acumen's still there. The clutch gene still there. He's an amazing quarterback, but Josh Allen's better than him right now, and there's nothing wrong with admitting that fact. Just because Tom Brady's in the league doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers wasn't better than him for a stretch during their careers that were mutual. Peyton Manning had a great career, was better than Brady, especially early in the Brady years when he was stacking those first three titles. Peyton Manning was the better quarterback every Sunday on paper. Now, Brady won in the big moments, and we can talk about what means more there. But statistically, the big moments in the game, regular season, MVPs, etc., the eye test, the ear test, you're watching on a Sunday or a Thursday or a Saturday or a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday these days in the NFL, it was Peyton. It was Breeze. Brady sprinkled in. Brady had the best career, greatest of all time, but he was not the best, most elite quarterback every single year in his career. And just because he's the greatest of all time doesn't mean he has to be. It's about so much more than that. It's about the postseason. It's about the winning in the highest stage, clutch moments. You don't have to be the greatest passer of the football or the most electric athlete like we see with a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow. Sometimes you don't have to be that in order to go and win these games. So Patrick Mahomes, to me, still top two, top three at worst in the NFL. He is a little underappreciated at this stage, but do not bet against him. Getting back to the tippy top, but I do disagree a little bit with Evan Cohen in the narrative of saying Patrick Mahomes, top five quarterback all time, does not mean, could be top five all time is what I mean there, but does not mean he needs to be put in the top two, top three every single year just because we say that. In terms of his overall career, resume, and accomplishments. That's out of the NFL for now. Over to the tennis world, we just got a stunning final from Wimbledon to talk to you about. On the women's side yesterday, quickly, Marta Kostyuk defeated Jasmine Paolini 6-3, 6-2, and Neskova got by Mertens 6-3, 7-5. And today at Wimbledon, get you this final score in just a moment, a three-set thriller, tiebreaker ending between Coco Gauff and Karolina Muchova. In the end, Gauff had a late lead in the tiebreak stage and lost it in the third set. Muchova winning in tiebreak from her perspective, 6-2, 1-6, 7-6 in the final. So Muchova knocking out Coco Gauff. Will get you the update on the other match underway on the women's side here in just one moment as that will get going right around now between Marta Kostyuk and Linda Neskova. Again, that'll be underway very soon. But Karolina Muchova, the Czechia native, is on her way to the final on the women's side, which we played on Saturday morning. Men's side yesterday, Arthur Ferry, get to know the name. The Britain native took down Flavio Caboli 6-4, 7-6, 6-0. Alexander Zverev will be his opponent as he knocked out the final American man in the field. Taylor Fritz 6-4, 6-4, 6-2. Arthur Ferry, get to know the name, take the stage. Here's what he had to say post-match yesterday.
The Arthur Ferry tale continues. You are through to the semifinals of Wimbledon. Just take a minute.
Yeah, it just seems to be gets better and better every match, and no, I just can't believe it. It's incredible playing on center court for the second time, second win. Yeah, just can't believe it.
It wasn't just the fact that you won the match. It was the manner in which you won the match. How surprised were you with how you played, or have you always known that this was in there?
Yeah, I mean, I played Flavio earlier this year and I beat him in Australia, which was a boost of confidence, and I knew that I could do it, even though it was my first time in the quarterfinals, and he's done it before in a Grand Slam, but that gave me a little boost of confidence, and yeah, just kept going. Was very nervous beforehand, but then just kept going until the finish line.
All in on the Arthur Ferry storyline. The Britain native is into the semifinal coming up. He'll meet up with Alexander Zverev, and he was asked by the announcer there, "How you rolling with the punches? How you blocking out the noise at this stage that nobody, maybe not even himself, thought he'd get to?"
How do you block out these types of questions, this type of noise, and just concentrate on the semi-final? What does the next couple of days look like for you?
Well, I don't know. I've never been in this position before, so I guess it's going to be the first time, and we'll figure out as we go. But no, I'm just going to keep going. I've been doing a great job for the past 10 days, and just going to do the same thing and see where that takes me.
There you go. I can't sell it enough to you. If you're not a traditional tennis watcher at this stage, Wimbledon, home crowd, Arthur Ferry, one hell of a story. Don't miss it. He'll be in the semifinals tomorrow. Those times are still to be determined, but Arthur Ferry, unranked, meeting up with Alexander Zverev, the 2 seed in the entire tournament tomorrow. And also we'll see top seed Jannik Sinner against 7 seed, pesky old veteran Novak Djokovic. Still a lot of pop in the step there, as we'll see Ferry and Zverev and Sinner and Joker take the stage tomorrow to be determined for the men's semifinals. World Cup action after a day off for the first time in an eternity. World Cup is back. And better than ever, coming up this afternoon, France and Morocco meet 3 o'clock on Fox. Tomorrow, we'll see Spain lock horns with Belgium, 2 o'clock on Fox. And then the final two quarterfinal matchups, Norway and England, 4 o'clock on Fox on Saturday. Argentina meeting Switzerland, 8 o'clock, Fox on Saturday night. Let's dive right in to your ReliaBank headlines of the day. It's hour number one. Do not miss out on this opportunity for you USF Cougar fans in regards to your youngsters attending ball games. The athletic department at USF excited to announce that registration is now open for the Junior Cougar Club this upcoming year, presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. The Junior Cougar Club is completely free and offers young fans an all-access experience throughout the year, bringing them closer to Cougar athletics than ever before. New for the upcoming season, every registered member will receive the official Cougar Pack mailed directly to their home. Each pack includes a USF Cougars pennant, Cougar sunglasses, stickers, a lanyard, and a Junior Cougar Club membership credential. A lot of membership benefits, including the biggest one, free admission to all regular season USF Cougar home athletic events. Bert's going to be doing that with my 3 kiddos. You should do the same. Details, usfcougars.com for the Cougar, Junior Cougar Club. Well, Adam Vinatieri is going to be donning a gold jacket coming up next month, getting into Canton as a very absurdly notable, successful kicker in the NFL's history. And that is not the only honor coming his way this summer and into the fall. Vinatieri became perhaps the greatest kicker in NFL history by making some of the biggest kicks the game has ever seen. And accordingly, the post-career honors keep rolling in. Already scheduled to be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame next month, Vinatieri on Wednesday was announced as the next player to be inducted into the Indianapolis Colts Ring of Honor. Vinatieri will become the 21st person associated with the franchise to receive that distinction when he's honored in a game against the Titans on October the 18th. During a 24-year career with the Patriots and Colts, Adam Vinatieri became one of the most clutch performers ever at his position, most known for playoff performances, including winning kicks in a pair of Super Bowls for New England before joining the Colts as a free agent in 2006. He continued to cement his legacy with an impressive run during Indy's Super Bowl campaign that year. Adam Vinatieri, one of the greatest, if not the greatest kicker of all time. Not the most accurate. You could argue clutch, though. He checked the box every single time. And I did some distinguished research yesterday. Just off the top of my head, I said, I wonder if Adam Vinatieri is in the Patriots Hall of Fame, Patriots Ring of Honor. He's not yet. So that still could easily be in his future. The only line of demarcation there, the hurdle in his way, would be the guy that succeeded him at the position. Steven Gostkowski was also really darn good, broke a lot of his franchise records in New England. But if you're looking at those two impact moments, very similar careers in terms of Super Bowls won, big kicks, consistency, accuracy. Gostkowski was the more accurate kicker, but Vinatieri's got his own chapter. I think they both belong in the Patriots Hall of Fame. We'll wait and see about that as we move into the future. Lastly here, as we round out and wrap up your ReliaBank headlines of the day, we heard about it just moments ago, but Cheryl Reeve, head coach of the Minnesota Lynx, didn't make things easy last night at Mohegan Sun Arena, needing a fourth quarter to take care of the last place Connecticut Sun 86-80 and end a two-game skid. On a normal night, the coach may have been frustrated that for much of the game, her team didn't play up to their usual standard. Instead, the lasting memories will be of Reeve being showered with gold confetti in the locker room, the coach dancing alongside the players, and music ringing through the halls. Wednesday's win was Reeve's 380th regular season win, making her the winningest head coach in the history of the WNBA. The record was previously held by former Sun and Washington Mystics coach Mike Thibault, and certainly Reeve upping the ante, not slowing down anytime soon. Cheryl Reeve, your all-time winningest coach in WNBA history. That's the latest and greatest in your ReliaBank headlines of the day. As always, for a better local banking option for you and yours, check them out in town in the 605 or online at ReliaBank.com. When we come back, Brendan Sorsby's name is back in the news, but not really anything to do with the young man personally, but the broader situation. We'll dive into that news out of college football, talk some Iowa State Cyclone football, and some commentary from Jimmy Rogers in a moment. And we'll also dive into some NFL chatter on a Thursday, July 9th edition of Overtime that continues after this.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Thursday, July 9th edition of Overtime, where we were able to witness Big 12 Football Media Day, whatever they're calling it, Monster Big 12 Football Media Day, whatever. We talked some Cyclones. We'll get you some Jimmy Rogers audio here in a moment, talking about his quarterback, his team, and the expectations there in Ames following the departure of Matt Campbell, Rocco Becht, and a zillion other players in the transfer portal. Rogers tasked with rebuilding that program and working to make the climb up the rankings and in the Big 12. Well, you need to be making your climb as well this summer. Ready, set, climb. Play Quick Stars Mountain Dew Quick Climb today and score cash over the summer. Now through August 16th, you can play free every day inside the Quick Rewards app. That's daily cash prizes that climb up to a $250,000 payday at the top. That is the Mountain Dew Quick Climb at Quick Star. Buy select Pepsi-Cola beverages to earn yourself bonus plays. Your summer, your climb, your win. Only at Quick Star. Full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. And a reminder, of course, Quick Star's a go-to in my family, should be in yours as well. Life is busy and they get that at Quick Star. From fresh coffee to tasty bakery treats, grab and go meals, Quick Star is your one-stop shop. No doubt, for variety, quality, and fast service. They're there to make your life easier. Fresh groceries, easy meals, and service with a smile. Quick Star, where your day gets better. See you next time at your local Quick Star. Let's talk football, shall we? Iowa State was on display yesterday. Jimmy Rogers, always candid with the media, always open with the media, was talking yesterday about several different topics. We'll get you three different clips here. First things first, he was asked about the identity of a Jimmy Rogers coached ball club.
What does a Jimmy Rogers coach team look like?
Yeah, I would say tough. A team that will play together, a team that plays with a certain level of spirit and flies around, and a physical team that will come out with a certain level of focus and finish in the end.
There you go. Jimmy Rogers, what does a team look like that is coached by him? How about the quarterback position? Rocco Becht was a really darn good, some would say underappreciated, star in Ames. He's off to Penn State for the swan song of his college football career following coach Matt Campbell. Where do the Cyclones go at quarterback? They've got Jalen Rayner, who is a North Carolina native, Kernersville, North Carolina native, area that I know well. He moved on to Arkansas State, had a really nice three-year career there. Dual threat quarterback, is he the guy? Here's Coach Rogers on the quarterback spot in Ames.
At this point, are you ready to name a starting quarterback?
Yeah, Jalen Rayner, we brought him here for a reason. Obviously, we have high hopes for him.
at the end of the day, there's still a fall camp to be played. He's got to produce inside of fall camp. We're going to play the best players. But Jalen is going into camp as the one, and he's got to continue to hold his position. And those are all things that I said in the recruiting process. It's a kind of who I am. Nobody.
And that's it. Jimmy Rogers, Jalen Rayner is the front runner. Doesn't mean he is the absolute positive guy for the job, but it feels that way. 3-year veteran quarterback at Arkansas State out of the Sun Belt. Played pretty darn well. The stats back it up. We'll see how the game translates to a Jimmy Rogers offense there in Ames. But you got to love that. Confidence in the quarterback you brought in. We brought him in for a reason. You know, that's exactly what we talked about when we brought him in. You're our guy. We're throwing support behind you. But, B-U-T, but, you got to earn it. In fall camp, and we'll see about that for Jalen Rayner there in Ames. And lastly, from the Cyclones' new head coach, here's what he had to say about the pecking order and the expectations and the reality at Iowa State right now and into the future.
This is an opportunity to, you know, compete for a national championship, and people think that's crazy, but at the same time, I don't know how many people expected Indiana to win, but he did it. And if your goal is not to be the best, you're in the wrong business.
Getting me fired up there, Coach Rogers. We miss him on these airwaves. Heck of a football coach, no doubt, making his way to Ames by way of Pullman, by way of Brookings. Wish him all the best this year with Iowa State. And you got to be fired up about that sentiment. We're here to play for a national championship. And whether you believe it or not, he's right with Indiana. Nobody had him on the radar 3 years ago. 2 years ago, they make a CFP run. Everybody says, oh, that's cute. Look at Indiana. That's a once in every 25 years thing. Not so fast. Back on the stage, best team all year long, national champions, unbelievable coaching staff, quarterback, skill players, etc. And I think that program's here to stay. Why not us? Why not Iowa State from the perspective of Jimmy Rogers taking over, changing the guard, injecting that meanness into the coaching staff? Gotta love that. Absolutely love that for Jimmy Rogers and Iowa State, and those clips available on Twitter. Let's talk more Big 12 as schools begin preparing for the NCAA's move toward a 5-year age-based eligibility model. One of the most prominent groups who will be affected are senior quarterbacks. Utah quarterback Devin Dampier told ESPN yesterday he's hoping to enter the NFL draft after this year, but he's one of several fourth-year starters who will have a compelling decision to make come December. Under the new model, players entering their fourth year in college who haven't yet utilized a redshirt will have the option to return for a fifth year moving forward. I want to go to the league this year, Dampier said during Big 12 media days. I would say that's my dream and aspirations, but I guess it's a nice safety belt for me to know I do have another year now. The list of FBS starters who can take advantage of an extra year includes Dampier, Kansas State's Avery Johnson, Iowa State's Jalen Rayner, Nebraska newcomer Anthony Calandria, Northwestern's Aiden Childs, and UNLV's Jackson Arnold. Johnson is a 26-game starter for the Wildcats, and first-year coach Colin Klein agreed that that's a conversation they're planning to put off until after the season. And why not? This makes a lot of sense. You come into college, many players are not ready to be on a field. Many players receive a red shirt, some don't. Some quarterbacks, some players, some skills are ready to rumble and contribute immediately as a freshman. So it is a little bit of a disadvantage. We'd want to talk about making everything fair and square and even a little disadvantage if just because you're ready to go as an 18-year-old, some cases a 17-year-old on a college campus, doesn't mean that you should be penalized on the back end. Maybe you deserve a fifth year. And that's where we're moving. And for quarterbacks, I like this for numerous reasons, because we criticize all the time. Dude is too raw. Not ready for the league. Get him more snaps. He's a one-year starter. He's too inexperienced, et cetera, et cetera. We hear it over and over again. Why not give these guys some optionality? Or also make a business decision. If you're a 4-year starter at Northwestern and Alabama comes calling your name for a fifth year and they're going to give you $10 million, but the NFL is there saying, son, we would like to make you a first-round pick, the first overall pick of the Las Vegas Raiders, of the Cleveland Browns. You might think about that quite a bit. What's best for me? How pro-ready am I? Is that a place that I want to go? Put my career on the line? Or should I kick the can down the line? One more year in college, have some fun, play for a national title, play for a prestigious program, stay at a program and build on my prestige. I have no problem with that in terms of the 5-for-5 rule that is coming out in the world of college athletics. Now for the Brendan Sorsby situation that we thought was done and over is anything but. It's just moving from college to the NFL, smash down back into the college world, and here we go with the latest drama. The NCAA has sent a letter of inquiry to Cincinnati, centered on former quarterback Brendan Sorsby's time with the program. Sources told ESPN on Wednesday, Sorsby was ruled permanently ineligible by the NCAA this spring after he admitted to placing thousands of impermissible sports bets over the past 4 years, spent two seasons with the Bearcats before transferring to Texas Tech this offseason. Now, the NCAA's probe into his time at Cincinnati follows the high-profile legal saga over Sorsby's eligibility last month, which concluded with the Red Raiders in the transfer quarterback parting ways in the middle of June. Bearcats coach, former App State head coach Scott Satterfield, declined to comment on the matter at Big 12 Media Days in Frisco on Wednesday. News of the letter inquiry was first reported by Yahoo Sports just yesterday. A Cincinnati spokesperson also declined to comment, but provided a general statement on the month-long situation involving the program's former quarterback. We have had continuous conversations with the NCAA since the initial reports related to impermissible sports wagering began. As we've stated before, we do not believe any athletics official or staff member was aware of any impermissible sports wagering. Now, I think I remember, don't quote me on it, but I think I remember the agent making some sort of claim that Cincinnati may have known a little bit about the situation with Sorsby. Again, it's all very convoluted at this point, but Cincinnati, no imminent trouble here, but an inquiry launched by the NCAA into their knowledge and involvement, perhaps, in Brendan Sorsby's gambling activity, alleged, of course. Now over to the National Football League quickly here. Let's talk about the NFC South and a couple teams we don't spend a lot of time on. The first one, Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield's contract situation is in a weird spot. The Bucs are reportedly in, quote, no rush to extend his contract, which expires after the year. Mayfield has imposed a deadline for getting something done before the start of training camp. Bucs report to camp on July 28th. That's 19 days away. The problem seems to be to identify, but anything simple, simple to solve. The market for veteran starting quarterbacks about the range of $40 to $50 to $60 million per year. Where does Mayfield land is the question posed at Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. And what do you do here if you're Tampa? Because if you pay Baker Mayfield $50 million, even on a two-year deal, so 2 years, $100 million, fully guaranteed or mostly guaranteed, and you don't make the playoffs this year, you got to be in the market for a quarterback next season, next draft, right? Even with a guy who's going to make $50 million the next year, that feels like a nice little linchpin point to make that deal. You could also see and wish and hope and ask that Baker Mayfield will play out the string on this deal, and the price tag will go up if you're in the playoffs and Baker posts good stats and reaches some milestones here, and the fans are saying, this guy helps us win games. He's good enough. He is us. He's one of us in Tampa. That feels like a pretty big risk for Tampa Bay heading into this year. Again, Baker Mayfield, camp start time feels like a little bit of a deadline, and we'll see if he plays out the string, if he holds out, holds in, limited participation, or if he's a full go and says, you're not going to bet on me, I'm going to bet on me. When it comes time to pay me, I'm not even going to pick up my phone from Tampa unless the number starts with a 6 and ends with a 0 or something higher than that per year to be the quarterback of the Buccaneers following what could be a good year. But as I told you yesterday, Tampa could also win the division, but it could also be dead last. That division wide open, could yin and yang any which way for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Panthers, Saints, and Falcons. Now, lastly, from the National Football League, let's talk about the top defensive tackles. They're ranking them up at ESPN.com. No real area DTs making the list. Leonard Williams of Seattle, number one, a ageless wonder, 32 years old. Other top DTs in the league, Jeffrey Simmons in Tennessee, no doubt. Jalen Carter in Philly. Chris Jones in Kansas City, age 32, still hanging out at number four. And Derek Brown, Carolina Panthers, age 28. Last year was just an honorable mention. This year into the top five. Other names on that list: Quinnen Williams, Dexter Lawrence, Zach Allen of the Denver Broncos, Milton Williams, and Jordan Davis. Mammoth of a human rounding out the top 10 in the National Football League. When we come back, we've got a lot to get to, frankly, in the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got tennis. We got Caitlin Clark. We have so much to jam pack into the finale of hour number one on an early Thursday edition of Overtime. Hour two dedicated to the Purple People Leaders, the Minnesota Vikings. Dustin Baker in studio here in about 20 minutes. We'll be talking all things Vikings in hour two. Immediately next, the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Thursday edition of Overtime.
Stream us online. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on the early Thursday edition of Overtime. A reminder, we're clearing the airwaves at noon, making way for those white-hot Minnesota Twins looking for a sweep of the Cleveland Guardians, 46-47, the record for Minnesota following yesterday's 6-5 win. They are just one game out of second, two games out of first place in the AL Central. Minnesota grinding it out and battling here as we enter just about the All-Star break around the corner following this weekend. Time to wrap up hour number one with the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Thursday.
Who has been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and now setting a bad example. Well, Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Record-breaking sports merchandise sales are always a good topic in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the jersey worn by Knicks star point guard, recent NBA champ Jalen Brunson, during game one of the finals this year, sold at Sotheby's for over $1 million after a 70-bid war yesterday, a record paid for any Brunson collectible and also the most paid for a Knicks collectible of any kind. In all, 15 Knicks jerseys worn during or issued for Game 1 from Brunson, Cat, Miles, Michael Bridges, Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, Mitch Robinson, and more netted $1,868,416. Karl Anthony Towns' jersey and Anunoby's both sold for $256,000. Josh Hart's went for the bargain price, pittance price of $89,600. With the Philadelphia Phillies right back to it, firmly in playoff contention, heading into the All-Star break, interim manager Don Mattingly said he would be interested in leading the club full-time. Oh, I would do it, Mattingly told ESPN's Buster Olney before yesterday's game at the Cincinnati Reds when asked about the idea of him managing beyond this year. Is brought to him by Philly. I kind of committed myself to 2 years with the Phillies when I came over, so whatever President of Baseball Operations Dave Dombrowski wants to do in that regard. But yeah, I think I would like to do it. Good news, Don Mattingly offering an easy choice for the future manager of the Philadelphia Phillies full time. Other news to get to, Mike Trout is back for now. He's had an injury-riddled career, especially lately. Trout came off the injured list on Wednesday, hit a two-run homer in his return, helping lift the Angels to a 13-1 win over the Texas Rangers. Trout hit a 438-foot shot that gave the Angels an 11-0 lead in the eighth and has 48 career homers against the Rangers, the most by any player since the franchise moved to Texas in 1972 and the second most ever against the club. Speaking of baseball, this is good news bundled into some bad, sad news. Anytime an all-time great says, this is it, I'm just about done, it tugs at the heartstrings. Justin Verlander, who has amassed 3 Cy Young Awards, 2 World Series titles, and an MVP award in what is undoubtedly a Hall of Fame career, announced just yesterday that this season is it, that he'll retire at the end of 2026. The 43-year-old Verlander, who will make his 10th All-Star Game appearance next week after being named a legend pick by Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred on Wednesday, has 266 regular season wins and 3,554 strikeouts over 21 Major League Baseball seasons. Tim Hardaway Jr., new on the scene, joining the Miami Heat, always would follow the same routine in his 15 visits to Miami as an opponent, walk into the arena, take a look into the rafters, and gaze at one specific banner. Hardaway 10, Sways, commemorating his father's time with the franchise and the jersey they retired in Tim Hardaway Sr.'s honor. Coming here when I was an opponent, I felt like it gave me a superpower, and now that number 10 is his jersey. The Heat formally introduced part of the family on Wednesday, with the 34-year-old Hardaway getting his welcome back to Miami news conference and getting handed a number 10 Heat jersey only this one with Junior on the back. Tim Hardaway Sr. previously said he wouldn't let his retired number come back into circulation with the Heat, noting to WQAM Radio in Miami last week, "My legacy is my legacy, and my son is doing it his way." Like the sentiment, but Hardaway Jr. told the media Wednesday that things changed after some family discussions. "I think the first go-round was a personal decision," he said of his father's initial thoughts. "The second go-round, a family decision." Pretty cool there. Tim Hardaway Jr. going to be rocking the 10 from Tim Hardaway Sr.'s career there in Miami. Bad news for the Chicago Blackhawks. More Bert? Yeah, we're going to get some more here for you. Blackhawks star center youngster, generationally talented Connor Bedard is expected to miss the start of the season after undergoing surgery on his left shoulder just yesterday. The Blackhawks said fans should, quote, expect Bedard to make a full recovery in an approximate timeline of 4 months. Based on that timeline, Bedard would miss at least the first month of the upcoming season, and it's the first 84-game season under the NHL's new collective bargaining agreement, with the start moved up to late September. Bedard is still absurdly young, but still looking for the appropriate takeoff. The build, player, and prospect of Connor Bedard was generational talent, can't miss guy, no doubter, going to reshape the league, face of the league, and he's proven to be really, really darn good. And it doesn't help that you got a Macklin Celebrini who was undersold relative to Bedard, already hitting the ground running, doing bigger and better things marginally than Bedard. But Connor Bedard's still got a long career ahead of him, but he's going to start this season on the shelf, and it looks like for about a month for the Chicago Blackhawks into the season. And lastly here, the bad and the ugly. Fever guard Caitlin Clark made a return last night to the floor, but she was not happy with the outcome in last night's 106-92 loss to the Sparks. Said after her first game in 2 weeks that her body, quote, feels great. It's going to take some time to build endurance. She hadn't really been able to practice all that much either. According to Coach Stephanie White, the pressure at 94 feet, so you got to make sure you're able to withstand that. It's never easy when you're reintegrating after an injury. She's going to continue to be better. Again, those words from Fever coach Stephanie White. And lastly here, the ugly, a rift between former majority owners and current majority owners forming up in Dallas. Mark Cuban is accusing Dallas Mavericks governor Patrick Dumont of freezing the team's former majority owner out of business opportunities in a proposed move of the club out of downtown. The Dallas Morning News reported on Wednesday that Cuban is alleging Dumont is engaged in, quote, adversarial business practices in his bid to move the team about 10 miles north of downtown to the former site of the Dallas Mall. The billionaire businessman sold his majority stake back in 2023 to the families of Miriam Adelson and Dumont, who is Adelson's son-in-law. Cuban said he had an agreement to continue running basketball operations, but Dumont gave former general manager Nico Harrison, remember him, of course, full control of the basketball side. That's a easy candidate for the good, the bad, and the ugly here on a Thursday. Well, it's always great to see the sunshiny, smiley faces of the Baker fam. They're in studio, which means it's time for Minnesota Vikings Thursday to officially commence after this hour two on an early edition of Overtime. We're hopping off. We're clearing the air at noon, making way for those white hot Twins. But immediately next, the next hour is all the Vikings talk you can handle. Maybe some NBA, maybe some future travel plans, but mostly the purple people eaters and the purple and gold of the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings Thursday coming up next on this Thursday, July 9th edition of Overtime, right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.